chapter 1. 2 weeks ago, I preached from verses 1 through 13, and the title of that message was The Story of Jesus. Now today, I'm going to preach from verses 19 through 34, and the title of the message is The Story of You. Somewhere along the way, when I was growing up in church, I came to think of a good testimony as a sort of spiritual rags-to-riches story. What I mean was, what I always thought when I was younger, a good testimony was one that started with a prior life of wildness and wickedness. A life that could be summed up in a rowdy country music song or something like that, you know. And that life then, that story would go on and it would be followed by a rock bottom moment. And that rock bottom moment would then lead the person to something like a tent meeting revival or a homeless shelter or something like that. And there the sinner would see the light and be saved. So I guess what I'm saying is, in my mind, a good testimony was one that had an R-rated beginning and a Disney ending, while the violin music played softly in the background. Well, I'm thankful that God's grace is strong enough and great enough that God's grace can make those kind of testimonies come true. But those types of testimonies are not the only good testimonies out there. And early on in the first chapter here of John's Gospel, we find reference to the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man who was sent from God, and his role was to bear witness to the light of the life of Jesus Christ. And so, now that we have completed looking at the prologue of this fourth gospel, the actual narrative, the story, begins in verse 19. And it begins with the public record that John the Baptist gave about Jesus. And so before we actually meet Jesus later in this chapter, John the writer tells us of the testimony, the story of John the Baptist. So let's look at verses 19 through 34. And here we read, "This is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said.' Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, 'What then are you baptizing, or why then are you baptizing, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven and remained upon him. I did not recognize him, But he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would bless the preaching of your word this morning in Jesus' name. What we find here in this text is that the testimony of John the Baptist is a good one. But it's a good testimony, a good story, not because of anything that John says about his own life. In fact, John the Baptist says very little about himself. His testimony is a lot more about Jesus than it is about John. What about you? What is your testimony? What's your story? If you were asked to tell your own spiritual story, what is it that you would say? There's three questions I want to pose to you as we look over this passage and the record of John the Baptist. And these questions, they're not only going to help us work our way through the text, at the same time, they're going to help us understand what a good testimony, what a good life story really sounds like. So let's ask the first question. What does your story tell about yourself? What does your story tell about yourself? Sometime before Jesus left the carpenter shop in Galilee, John the Baptist started preaching a new and powerful kind of message out in the countryside across the Jordan River and out from the big city of Jerusalem. Now, even though John's out in the desert, literally in the desert, preaching, folks started flocking from all around to hear the messages he was preaching. So this put John on the radar of the religious folks in Jerusalem. And in verse 19, we're told that the religious leaders in Jerusalem send a delegation out to the Jordan River to find out why it is that John the Baptist is creating such a buzz. And what was the question that they asked John? Who are you? John's answer, clear and correct. So let's look at what we can learn about what John said about himself. You see, one of the things we learn is what you can deny about yourself. It's a little bit. What you can deny about yourself. Remember, the delegation comes and they ask John, who are you? And notice verse 20, what John said. And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Immediately, emphatically, John says, hey, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one that all Israel's been looking for all these hundreds of years. You know, right here is one of the great lessons we need to learn. There is a God, and you're not Him. There's a God, and you're not Him. Now, preacher, that's so obvious. I know I'm not God. Oh, no. I run into this sometimes, and I just have to smile when I hear it. Well, you know, we ought to be doing this, preacher, or we ought to be doing that, preacher. And people can hold those things strong, and that's good. I'm glad. But where the line gets crossed is when folks get so passionate about it that they start thinking, and if you're not doing what I think we ought to be doing, you're not listening to God. You're not listening to God. It's my way or no way. Isn't that not pretty much up to us? Folks, there is a God, and you're not Him. When we testify, when we tell our story, we all better quickly say that we are not the Savior and the Lord. I've had people come to me and say, preacher, can you save me? And my answer is no. Absolutely not. There's nobody apart from Jesus Christ that's perfect enough to save anybody. There's nobody apart from Jesus Christ that's powerful enough to help anybody. It's only by the grace of God. And notice then that the delegation went on to ask John a couple of other questions. They asked in verse 21, well, are you Elijah? And then they asked, are you the prophet? Now that's referring to Deuteronomy chapter 18, where Moses had said a prophet would come before Messiah. And so they're asking, are you Elijah? Are you that prophet Moses talked about in Deuteronomy 18? Notice what John's answer was. Oh, no. John's testimony reminds us that not only that we don't have to be God, but also that we don't have to be what everybody else expects us to be. There's a great pressure trying to live up to other people's expectations. The Jews, they tried to fit John into one of their neat little categories. They said to him, John, you've got to be one of three things. You either got to be the Messiah, or you got to be Elijah, or you got to be that prophet from Deuteronomy 18. And John said, no, I'm none of those things. I praise God that the only thing that we have to ever be is what God has created and called us to be. Your life isn't defined by the wishes of the society around you. Your life is defined by the will of the Savior above you. What do you say about yourself? You know, it was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, that the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It is also by God's hand that you are not what you are not. That goes both ways. So John's testimony about himself not only shows us what you can deny about yourself, but also we see here what you can declare about yourself. Well, these religious folks weren't satisfied with John's negative answers. And so the delegation asked him in verse 22, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Now look at John's answer in verse 23. I don't think it was the answer they were expecting. John quotes from the prophet Isaiah. I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Now that's from Isaiah chapter 40. And the picture is of someone who goes ahead of a king and makes sure that the roads and paths are clear, are ready for his arrival. All four gospels, all four of them, record this verse in relation to the mission and purpose of John the Baptist and his calling. While none of us have the exact same ministry as John the Baptist, every one of us have a similar calling in our life. You may be a preacher or a plumber. You may be a stay-at-home mom, or you may be a foreign missionary. But all of us, if we are believers in Jesus Christ, have this calling on our lives, and that is to be a path maker and a bridge builder for Jesus Christ so that other people will be prepared for Christ to come into their lives. When the world around you asks, who are you? Your answer should be, well, I'm nobody special, but I do know somebody special, and his name is Jesus. We should live our lives in a way to glorify and to make the way straight for the coming of Christ. So when we continue at the record that John gave in our text, I want you to ask not only, what does your story tell about yourself? Let's look at the second question. What does your story tell about your purpose? Now, what had originally drawn the attention of these religious leaders was not just the large number of people that were coming out to hear John preach, but also that the folks were heeding his message, and then they were being baptized. The Baptist was dunking them left and right. Now, the Jews were familiar with baptism. It was something that came out of the Jewish mikvah, which was a cleansing ritual. And it was something that was commonly done by a person who converted to Judaism. So most of these folks getting baptized, as far as we know, they were natural-born Jews. And this made them all getting baptized pretty unusual. And that's why you find in verse 25 that they were asking John, "Why then are you baptizing? If you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet." In other words, if you're not one of these major figures, John, then why are you doing this very serious act of baptism? You see, what they were really questioning was, "John, why are you doing what you're doing?" It was a question about John's service. Why are you doing what you're doing for God? That's the question. Why am I doing what I do for God? My prayer is that our answer will be like John in this case. Folks were lining up all around John. Some of them are still wet from their own baptism. Boy, this is a great chance for John to promote himself, isn't it? Look at all these people following me. Look at all these people baptizing and getting baptized, showing their dedication. Notice how John responded to the question of why he was doing what he was doing. Look at verses 26 to 27. John said, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." Rather than pointing to his own statistics about how many people he had baptized, John very quickly testified that what he was doing had nothing to do with himself. The religious leaders, they were standing there talking to him. Meanwhile, the one that they ought to really be interested in, John says, "You don't even recognize him. You don't know him." Of course, John is talking about Jesus. Look what John said about his relationship with Jesus. He said, "I'm not even worthy to untie his shoe. I'm not worthy to unlatch the thong of his sandal." In ancient days, when a person became the student, the apprentice of a teacher or a rabbi, that new apprentice had to do for that teacher, that rabbi, everything that a slave would do, with the exception of one thing. Commentator Leon Morris points out that the only thing that the apprentice was not asked to do that a slave would do would be to untie, take off the master's shoes. Do you get what John's saying? He's saying, "I'm here baptizing because of the one who is coming, and he is somebody that I'm not even worthy enough to be his slave. Only a slave would do that, and I'm not worthy enough to do that." That's how special he is. You know, it's a sad thing when some people serve the Lord and serve at church and act as if they're doing both big things. Oh, how we as Christians, we strut around like people ought to note our presence. And oh, how we talk about what a great sacrifice we're making. The reality is, we're all like the unprofitable servants in the parable. If we pour out our lives in service to Jesus, you understand that is a privilege. It's a privilege. The great missionary, Dr. David Livingstone, who spent most of his life opening the continent of Africa through the gospel, he once talked about the life he lived. And he was asked about how hard it was to leave his home in England behind. And this is what Livingstone wrote. He wrote this: "People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. I never made a sacrifice. You feel the privilege of your service. That's God, privilege. Look at how also John describes service by asking this: do you fulfill the purpose of your service? In verse 25, those religious folks had asked John why he was baptized. But the answer really doesn't come until you get to verse 31. The next day, Jesus shows up. And John pointed to him and said, so that he might be manifested, or so that he might be made known in Israel, I came baptizing in water. In other words, John is saying, I am doing what I am doing so that the people around me might see who Jesus is. Not that difficult. The religious leaders had come out to see John. He was the biggest thing in town at that time. But John did not care about his own publicity. It wasn't about himself. He wasn't interested about getting his name published in the local religious paper. He wasn't interested about getting applause from other preachers in town. The purpose of his ministry was to point people to Jesus and prepare their hearts to receive Jesus. He wanted folks to make Jesus their Savior and not make John the Baptist something special to them. What about you? What's the reason for your service? Why do you sing with the praise team? Why do you work in the nursery? Why do you run the soundboard back there? Why do you serve in the office of deacon or Sunday school teacher or whatever it is? Why do I stand here preaching? Is it so that someone will pat us on the back and give us a little attention and say, I appreciate the good job that you're doing? Is it so that you'll feel a little better about yourself and your life? Is it so that your agenda gets promoted and you get your way? Listen, people, very carefully. Not everything done in Jesus' name is about Jesus. Not all service is really service at all. Some of it is little more than selfishness, or as Paul would point out in 1 Corinthians, kindling to be consumed by the fires of judgment that went back, wood, hay, and straw. Let's ask the third and final question that we get in this record of the story of John the Baptist when we think about our own story. What does your story tell about? Three times you see the word testimony or testify in this text. John baptized and preached But his real testimony consisted in the things that he talked about regarding Jesus. One of the great statements about the ministry of John the Baptist came about after his death. Later in this gospel, after John has been beheaded, we read in John chapter 10, verse 41, these words that the people said of him. I love this verse, John 10, 41. While John performed no sign, that means miracle. While John didn't perform any miracles to wow folks, is what it says. Yet everything John said about this man. What a testimony. While John didn't perform any miracles, the most important part of your testimony is not how bad you once were and how good you now are because of what Jesus has done. Nope. It's not even about all the things you do and how busy you are serving the Lord since you've been saved. Nope. The most important part of your testimony is what you say about God. And make sure those things are true. For one thing, what we see here from John is we learn that you must have a consistent testimony. You've got to have a consistent testimony. If you read straight through the first chapter of this fourth gospel, you'll pick up on some similar phrases being spoken by John the Baptist over and over again. Go back to verse 15 that we covered last week, where John says, "He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." And then we saw in verse 27, "It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." And then in verse 30, the Baptist said, "This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me." Every time that John talks about Jesus, you get the same story. Jesus is much more important than I am. You never, ever see John in any of the four Gospels ever saying anything that indicates that he was putting himself before Jesus. In fact, you always see John talking about Jesus must increase and I have to decrease. Now, I've met some Christians through the years, and there have been some seasons in my life where I couldn't say that was true. We all struggle at times to be as consistent as John. Oh, one day you talk with us, or you talk to another Christian or something, and it's all they want to talk about is Jesus. They're filled with praise, and they just want to share how wonderful Jesus has been. And then you speak to these same folks, and I'm including me in this group, folks, you understand that. And you don't hear a lot about Jesus. Instead, you hear a lot of I and me talk. It seems like sometimes we stop singing, "Oh, What a Savior," and we start singing Toby Keith's country song, "I Want to Talk About Me, Want to Talk About I, Want to Talk About Number One, Oh Me, Oh My." How tragic it is when we talk about everyone and everything except me. And the last thing I want you to see here is not only that you've got to have a testimony, but you must have a testimony. Again, this passage is all about the testimony, the story that John gave to Jesus. There seems to be a lot of legal air when you start talking about witnesses and testimony. But when it boils down to the basics, John was sent with a heartfelt, convicting testimony about the role of Jesus. Look at verse 29. This is the first time we see Jesus appear in the Gospel of John. We read, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." A lot of the Jews, we know, were looking for the political Messiah. Lead the revolt against Rome, Messiah. Get us free from them. That's not what John said. John said, Jesus is the Lamb. He is the sacrificial offering to God sent to take away the sin of the world. Don't miss this. John reminds us that whatever we tell the world about Jesus, the number one thing that we'd better tell them is that Jesus is the Lamb of God crucified on the cross for their sins. That better be the one thing we make sure we tell people. You know, Jesus the teacher is not enough. Jesus the friend is not enough. Jesus the good moral example is not enough. With the deepest part of our conviction, we must tell people that Jesus is the Lamb of God and He died on the cross for you, and apart from Him, you cannot be saved. And unless you come to Jesus Christ believing that He is God's perfect Son, that He lived a sinless life, that He died on the cross for our sins, and that He rose again, and unless you embrace that, you will never set one foot in heaven for all eternity. And if we can't say that, then don't say anything about Jesus. Get that? John not only talked about the role of Jesus, he talked about the reality. I don't want you to miss something critical here. Look at verse 31 again. Curious statement. John says, "I did not recognize him." Then down in verse 33, he explains why he didn't recognize him. I'm not going to proclaim him to be the Messiah until something happens. God, the one who has sent me, has told me that when I see the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove and the Holy Spirit staying with him, that's the one. That's the one. And I'm not going to recognize him as being that. Not even John always knew who Jesus was. But John knew he was coming. And when John, at the baptism of Jesus, the Father speaks and the Spirit rests upon him, then John is convinced, convicted in his heart, exactly who Jesus was. And then we find in verse 34 that John says, "I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." John's testimony was sufficient because he was perfect in his heart. He came to know that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And so before we leave this text this morning, I've got to ask you that same question. What about you? Have you ever had that moment where God revealed himself from heaven to you? Maybe it broke in and shined like a bright light. I don't know. But in your heart, you came to the realization of just who Jesus is. Have you seen for yourself that Jesus is the Son of God and the Lamb of God who takes away your sins? If you've never really seen Jesus for who he is and believed upon him for yourself, and you don't have a story. You don't have a testimony. John the Baptist had a story because he knew without a doubt who Jesus is. What about you? An old song, C.S. Lewis. I haven't heard it from you. But the simple says, "I would love to tell since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something.